How many has your Bibles open to Acts chapter 14? Let me hear you say, praise the Lord. We're going to start in verse 21 this morning, and we're going to finish up the 14th chapter today. And so let's begin with verse 21 of Acts chapter 14. Aren't you thankful for the presence of the Lord in this place? God's presence is here. There's a sweet spirit. It says, they preached the gospel in that city, the city being Derbe, which you can see in verse 20, and won a large number of disciples. So great success was had in that town. Then they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, which, by the way, were towns where Paul and Barnabas were kicked out of town, stoned, and lied about, and they had a difficult time, but yet many disciples were made. They went back to those places that they were actually kicked out. And just to make sure that the strengthening of the disciples and encouraging them to remain true in the faith took place. And here's their sermon that they preached. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Well, wow, that's a pretty encouraging sermon right there. That's what they said, though, in all three of those towns. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came into Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and from Attalia they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. There's so much in this text that we could look at this morning. And I just asked the Lord, Lord, what is it here that we need to look at this morning? And this is the Holy Spirit pulled out two little areas here. And the first one is, I touched on in verse 22, that the first sermon that Paul preached to the new converts was condensed into one sentence. It just must have resonated with everybody that was there. Obviously, they, I guess, had seen him being stoned and kicked out and talked bad about. And so he said to them, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Now, that's not a very encouraging sermon, but it was factual, it was realistic nonetheless. And here's the fact of it. And I'm not going to belabor on this morning because I know we're already going through a lot of hard times. And even with this election coming up, there's a lot of people wringing their hands. And I'm kind of certainly getting sick and tired of all the commercials and all the people going back and forth. And let's just get that out of the way. But the fact is that there is a high price to pay. Hardships to experience and challenges to endure as we face the headwinds of secularism and worldliness and evil in our world. For the privilege of preaching the gospel and being God's image bearers, there's always a sacrifice to pay. We live in a country where the risk of imprisonment or death are little to none for sharing the gospel. But across the globe, there are great risks of imprisonment, of torture, and death, and they're actually quite common, those things. You hear about them all the time. But the gospel is proclaimed and endures because God's word is greater. Amen? And God's power is greater. Amen? And God's plan is greater than the enemy, than anything that the enemy would try to do to thwart it. And here's what I want to say about that. There may be hardships and struggles, but God's plan will succeed. Amen? Amen. So God is moving. That's the title of my message this morning. God is moving. Now, how many's ever moved before? Yeah, that's not what I mean by that. He's not moving to another location. He's not, you know, packing up his heavenly mansion or whatever, his throne, and moving elsewhere. But God is moving all across the earth, all across the globe. He's still moving. What I mean by God is moving is that he's stirring hearts. God is still performing miracles. God is still changing lives. God is still drawing people to Christ. By his Holy Spirit, he's renewing. By his Holy Spirit, he's redeeming. He's rescuing. He's reestablishing his rightful reign upon the earth, in the hearts and in the lives of people all across our community and all across our globe. Folks, God is moving. Now, the second part of this text is what I'd like to point out and really focus on this morning, and it's found in verse 27. It says this, on arriving back to Antioch, they gathered the church together and they reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened up the door of faith to the Gentiles. Now, As I mentioned just a moment ago, folks, there's a lot of bad news out there going on. A lot of negativity with things that we hear every day. And it's time for some good news. Amen? How many wants to hear some good news this morning? How many's come to this place to hear the good news of the gospel? Amen? With all the things that we hear that the church should be doing, which, you know, I think you probably get a steady dose of that from different people, and I'm sure from this pulpit as well, what we're not doing but what we should be doing. Today, I want you to know that we're going to hear what the church is in fact doing. So let's applaud the Church of Jesus Christ this morning. There was a song back, honestly, I'm showing my age, but about 30 years ago or more, came out, probably 20 or 30 years ago, from a man by the name of Scott Wesley Brown, and it was entitled, Look What God Is Doing. I don't know, some of you may not even know this song, some of you are shaking your heads, but it goes like this. It goes, Look what God is doing all across the land. See His Spirit moving, feel His mighty hand. Breaking chains of darkness and setting captives free. Look what God is doing for those who do believe. And then they can sing, glory, hallelujah. Look what God is doing. Glory, hallelujah. Look what God is doing. Then it says He is calling faithful men to carry out His plan. So in the power of Jesus' name, go possess the land. And it says again, take the living gospel and mix it with some love. Add a little action and see what our God does. I love that song. And it talks about what God is doing. And He's still moving. He's never stopped moving. So today, I'm not going to preach a message. I'm not going to stand up here and preach a message to you. I'm going to let others do it. I'm going to let you do it. Today, by the way, is Testimony Sunday. And I know there's several people that have a testimony that they're going to share. And get ready, because you're getting ready to preach a message this morning of what God is doing. I've already talked to several people, and I know that God has done something in either your life or someone else's. But I want to prime the pump this morning. So today, I'm going to share some stories of God's power, His greatness, His miracles, His goodness, His glory, His authority, out loud and with great joy. I'm going to share with you some actual events in our generation across this globe where God is moving in obvious and powerful ways. Not necessarily in big and profound ways, by the way. Because God, when He moves, it's not always blowing us away sort of stuff. Sometimes it's in the day-to-day practical stuff. So let's be careful that we don't just look at this and say, well, God's not moving in my life because I haven't seen an arm grow where there wasn't one or something like that. God moves even in the most special and unique and simple ways too. So let's keep that in mind. And I want us to see this. I want us to be inspired of how God is moving not only across the globe but also in your life this morning. So the first one is a story of a young man at a well in Togo, Africa. And here's the story. Go ahead and put the picture up. One Friday evening, Panango came to see a water pump being installed in his village in Togo. The pump was supplied by Africa Oasis Project, a ministry that drills water wells in drought-stricken areas of Africa. Soon, Panango volunteered to help with the work. While he was there, he listened to the godly talk and good-natured banter of the men from the village church as they worked with our colleague, Late, to install the pump. The following morning, Panango returned to the work site to see how the pump was operating and to talk to Late about Jesus. Soon, Late had the joy of leading this young man to Christ. The local pastor is now discipling Panango. God is touching lives at the well. Can we say praise the Lord for that? God is still moving, amen? Here's the next one. A next-door mission field in Cambodia. Now, Samuel came to Cambodia from China several years ago and received Christ at International Christian Assembly in Phnom Penh. A few months ago, he shared with me about his vision to have a Chinese service at the church at ICA. He told me that 25,000 Chinese worked at garment factories within a mile of ICA. Soon afterwards, Samuel and his wife, Hazel, took me to the garment factory area, and I was amazed by what I saw. As I looked at the rows of factories filled with workers from the Philippines, Cambodia, and China, the Lord put a burden in my heart. I felt I had left Cambodia, but I was only a mile away from our church. I never thought when I came to Jesus at ICA so many years ago that my church would be so near my mission field, said Samuel. And other people are reaching out to the wealthy. I want to reach these poor Chinese. With some volunteers from ICA, Samuel and Hazel began two small groups for Chinese garment workers, and within a year, many of them had accepted Christ. A third discipleship group had started, and a fourth group is based on the study of the Holy Spirit. Now we're praying about starting a Chinese congregation and a Bible school. Folks, God is still moving. Amen? Here's the next one. The man in the painting in Ukraine. Now, just outside a small village in Ukraine, Tamara lay dying due to complications at childbirth. The doctors told her husband to go home and collect money from neighbors to help pay for a funeral. That night, a doctor awakened Tamara. He told her she could get up and go home. Tamara's husband arrived at the hospital the next morning to pick up his wife's body, but he nearly fell over in shock at what he found. Tamara was sitting on the side of the bed with her bag packed and ready to go home. She told her husband about the doctor with long hair who came to her during the night and told her she was well. But there was no doctor anyone knew who fit that description, except for Dr. Jesus. As Tamara walked out of the hospital, she noticed an Orthodox painting of Jesus on the wall. "That man in the painting," Tamara cried, "he is the doctor who came and talked to me." She realized then that the man who healed her was Jesus. Tamara began to tell everybody what had happened, and soon her whole family came to Christ. A home church meeting was formed, and every week several people come to Christ. In this village, Jesus had become much more than a figure in a painting. He is the one who changes lives. Folks, God is still moving. Here's another one from Javier. His life was transformed in Bolivia, South America. Javier is kind, a gentle man of God whose life was transformed at Teen Challenge in Bolivia. But more than 25 years ago, he lived on the streets of Santa Cruz. Most of that time was spent in the sewer canals. Javier, a man known for violence and dominance, controlled a section of the canal. When the Lord found him, he was the general of an area where many people lived and died. Javier came to Teen Challenge bound by drugs and alcohol. The hard drive inside his brain was practically spent from years of substance abuse, and his liver was greatly enlarged. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, Javier was set free. Within 3 months at Teen Challenge, Javier was scoring in the mid-70s on exams. During a medical checkup, the doctor did an organ scan, which showed that his enlarged liver had returned to normal size and function. God's word says the Lord will restore what the locusts have eaten, and Javier is proof of God's restoring power. Folks, God is still moving. A day of happenings in China, and happenings is in parentheses. Listen to this story. Just a few days ago, we were in a restaurant where we happened to meet a 17-year-old waitress who had become a believer because of some material she had read. She just happened to be working her last shift at the restaurant, and we just happened to get her as a server. Earlier that day, we just happened to have connected with someone who was able to direct this young woman to a home group. Coincidences? We think not. We are praying that our days will continue to be marked by divine happenings. God is still moving. God is still moving. God is still moving. So what about you this morning? What about you? What about you? I want you to give a testimony of what God has done in your life. I'm going to take this microphone. If you have a testimony, I want you to raise your hand. And Todd, I'm going to start with you because I know you've already told me something that happened. So share this.
Be forced into this because I'm a coward. About a month ago, I had the privilege of praying with a friend of mine to accept the Lord. He did. About 7 years ago, I felt that the Lord was directing me to start painting, and I did. Well, actually, I delayed quite a while. I was a coward again. But eventually, I did. I started, and it introduced me to a whole group of new people, and 90% of them unbelievers. And I've gotten very close to them, spend a lot of time with them, I've really learned to love them. One of my friends, the one I prayed with, Michael, I had talked with him about the Lord, talked about the Bible, talked about marriage. You know, we would talk about a lot of things. But as Pastor said about a month ago when he talked about witnessing, I never closed the deal. He ended up, about 2 years ago, found out that he had stage 4 stomach cancer, and they gave him no hope. And he fought it, took every treatment, did everything he could as aggressively as he could. But about a month ago, he ended up going into hospice care. And I knew he didn't have much time left, so I had determined that Sunday I had to pray with him. I had to talk to him. And that happened to be the Sunday that Pastor Brian talked about, you know, sharing your faith and witnessing. Also, earlier that day in our Sunday school class, they prayed for me because I knew I had to do this. And so I went to hospice, and I spent probably about 4 or 5 hours there. When I got there, there was probably about 20 people in the room. And so I just kind of waited, and eventually later in the day, I got an opportunity to talk with him. And his daughter was there, so she was part of the conversation. And he was at a point where he really didn't talk. So I explained the gospel to him and told him that, you know, he didn't need to try to speak, but he needed to just pray in his heart. And I did pray with him, and when we were done praying, he just shot his hand up like this. And then that was on a Sunday, and then Tuesday I went back to visit him, and he passed away while I was there. So
you made the ask, Todd, didn't you? You made the ask. You took him all the way to the cross, to the throne. You made the ask, and praise God. 2 days, the mercy of God. 2 days before he passed, he received the Lord. Thank you for your obedience to the Lord too.
The thing is, a thought that came to me during the service was the phrase, "No fear, obey, and God will show up." No fear, obey, and God will show up. No fear, obey, and God will show up.
Let's all say that together. No fear, obey, and God will show up. Say it again. No fear, obey, and God will show up. Amen. I know you got a testimony of what God did in your heart and healed you this today. Go ahead, this week.
I was having ear problems, and if you know how that goes, it was terrific pain coming down my shoulder and my neck and everything. And so I was working over at the church, and I said, I'm not going home with this. So I said, before I go, Pastor, you got to lay hands on me and pray for me and Matt. And so they came in there and laid hands on me. And he said, now, remember, every time something comes at you, be sure and praise God that you're healed. And I did continually. And I woke up the next morning, and all the pain was gone. Hallelujah. Amen.
And can I tell you, it wasn't some big fancy prayer. You know, when you pray, and I'm not anything special, we just follow God's word and what it says, right? Anybody can do that. You lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen? Larry.
A few weeks ago, one of our daughter-in-laws called us. She has a niece that lives in Arkansas that was born with cystic fibrosis. Now, if you don't know about that, it's an incurable disease that destroys your lungs. Most people born with it do not make it out of their teenage years. This child's 19, looks like she's about 12. But she's a Christian and has been her entire adult life. And she'll tell you that in a heartbeat. But she got pneumonia, which generally is a death sentence for somebody like that. Rushed to the hospital. She got a little better and they sent her home. Her lung function is normally around 65. Which is fair. They had to take her back a few weeks ago. It dropped about 25. The doctors told her dad, this is the choices. We've got to operate on her and take part of her lung out. If we don't, she's dead. He put it that simple and bluntly. If we do operate, she may not come off the table. He wouldn't even give them the odds of that happening. So they said, you know, her dad said, well, at least that's a chance. So they decided to operate. Well, you know, they do all these x-rays and everything. Well, when they got her ready to do the operation, they said, we got to do one final set of x-rays. And they did. And the doctor came back out and told her dad, said, we're not operating. And he's like, why? He said, there's no scarring in her lungs. Her lungs, we said her lungs are now at about 80-85% and as clear as mine or yours. He said, never in my medical history have I ever saw this happen before.
Hallelujah.
And I don't know if the doctor's a Christian or not, but he told him, he said, obviously somebody's been praying. And Linda said, well, the ladies here on Tuesday morning have been. We asked the class on Wednesday nights. They've been praying. Of course, her dad and, you know, her family's Christians, and they've been praying too. And this child will tell you, Donna says a lot of times when I call her, thinking I need to lift her up, she winds up lifting me up. And I told Donna the other day, I said, you know, I know there's a lot of prayers for her, and God's still in the miracle business because that is an absolute miracle.
Absolutely.
She's 19 years old, been dealing this from the day she was born. But I think that might be a way that God is honoring her faith.
Yeah.
You know, for being so faithful to Him all these years. Even her dad has had to beat on her chest before to knock stuff loose. He's bruised her. You know, can you imagine doing that to your child? Beating on her till you bruised her? You know, but I really do thank God for that because He is still in the miracle business.
That's right. God is still moving. God is still moving. So salvation, healing. And by the way, can I say this? Everything is connected to a soul. So through this, there's souls that are going to be saved. That doctor, there was a seed planted in his life, right? There's a testimony to God's healing power. We've read those testimonies from other parts of the world where God is doing things through miracles, but then ultimately people get saved and churches get started. And that's what's happening in the book of Acts. That's what we just got finished reading about. Paul went back to those towns where people were saved and delivered and churches were established and leadership was established and the gospel was being expanded into the known world. Can I just say another miracle? Would you stand up and show Tyler? He's a little miracle born last Sunday. He's a week old. And here's little Tyler Mungo. Look at this little guy. Oh my goodness. Isn't he sweet? What's going on? Oh, how sweet. Congratulations, Sharon. Who else has a testimony over here? Beverly.
We have been praying for my husband's sister, Gloria's spouse. She's on the prayer list that we sent out. And I got a call from her last week because she had to have surgery last week to put a stent in her heart. But she said, Sissy, I went to the oncologist this week. And she says, the doctor says I'm in remission. I go, what's remission mean to you? What do you say about that? She goes, he said, it's not there anymore. It's gone. I said, because Jesus healed you, you're in remission. That's why it's gone, because Jesus healed you. And she had lung cancer, had gone to her jawbone and a spot on her shoulder, and all those, everything is gone. I give God the glory.
Yeah, remission means it's still there and it's going to show up again. But healing means it's completely obliterated and gone, right? So that's what we're going to say. I know that there's other testimonies, and I'm sure you guys are going to raise your hands. We could be here all day. But this is what I want to say is we're going to save that till next month. And I want you to give that testimony because I want to make sure that we understand this, is that God is moving in China. Amen? God is moving in Togo, Africa, right? God is moving in the Ukraine. Amen? God is moving in the United States of America. Amen. God is still moving. Amen. God is still in control. Amen. God's power is just as powerful now as it was back then when we read the book of Acts and we see these signs and wonders following those who believed. And every time the gospel was proclaimed, it seems in the book of Acts, it always either right before or right after, there was signs and wonders, or miraculous signs and wonders connected together with those where the gospel was established through the power of God being manifest. And God wants to still do that today through you and through me in Rock Hill, York County, South Carolina, the United States of America. He's not through with this country. He has a plan for his church to proclaim the gospel, and it not only here in Rock Hill, but it's all across the world. And today, God is still moving in your life if you let it. And I want to ask you the question again as I close.
What about you? What about you? We stand up again, Todd. Those three things are what? Don't be afraid. Obey, and God will show up. Say it again. Don't be afraid. Obey, and God will show up. I guarantee you that's what was going on in the book of Acts with these people. I mean, they think about it. They were cowered down in the upper room until the Holy Spirit showed up. And then they stood up and said, in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed, be saved, be delivered, be restored, be redeemed, be renewed. God wants to do that in this generation through you and me. So let's not worry about what goes on in this election. Let's not worry about this kingdom that will pass away one day. But we're of another kingdom. And it's the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ. Lauren Triplett, I want to read a quote to you as I close. And could I have Amy come up to the piano? Lauren Triplett was a former Assemblies of God World Missions Director from several decades ago. I believe he's passed away now. But he quoted this, and I want to say this to you because it resonated in my heart. He said, "You don't measure yourself by your success." Like the world would say, you measure yourself by your success. But don't measure yourself by your success. Instead, you measure yourself by the unfinished task. Think about it. If we measure ourselves by our success, then we're measuring ourselves in a very limited way. But if we measure ourselves by the unfinished task is before us, and that means I'm going to keep going. That means there's still souls to be saved. That means there's still lives to be rescued and redeemed. That means that I still got a job to do, and so do you. And as long as I've got the breath of life in me, I'm going to not be afraid. I'm going to obey, and I'm going to let the Holy Spirit move in and through my life. So let's make it our goal to report all God is doing through us. Let's make it our goal to report the open doors, the seeds planted, the hearts encouraged, the bodies healed, the needs supplied, the souls saved, the lives changed. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we can focus on regardless of how this election turns out on Tuesday, regardless of what direction this country ends up going. God is still in control, and God is still moving in and through your life and my life. Our success will never be realized until we get to heaven one day. But our focus shouldn't be on what we've done, but on what still needs to be done. The harvest field is ripe and white unto harvest, and there's few workers to do it. But we are workers, and we've been called to the work that has yet to be done. So let's go do it. Not being afraid, standing in obedience, and trusting in the Holy Spirit to do what He's going to do in us and through us. Amen? What God has done through us in the past is in the past, and it's good. And to God be the glory for that. Amen? But it's in God's hands to bring the increase of what we plant and water. What we have before us is the unfinished task, and that's our primary focus. Let's not live in the past. Oh, God used me 20 years ago. Praise God for that. God used me a year ago. Praise God for that. God used me yesterday. Praise God for that. But today is the day of salvation for someone else. And God wants to use you to be that light and that hope, the love of Christ in and through us. Stephen said this on Wednesday night. We talked about it in the married couples class. And I'm going to paraphrase, but really we just need to focus on the compassionate love of Christ through us. That's what's going to draw people in, is that love that no one else is really getting these days. There's a lot of hatefulness out there. We can live in the past in those good old days, but God wants us to experience the good new days in Him. What He's done in the past compels us and launches us forward into what God wants to do right now. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Would you stand with me? Aren't you curious as to what that may look like that I just described? Aren't you curious as to what, if you were to step out and be like that factory worker in Cambodia, or like that woman who was destined to die until Dr. Jesus showed up and healed her in the Ukraine, or like Javier, who lived in the sewers but was rescued through Teen Challenge. And so what would that look like in your life as we go through our routine, our day-to-day, some maybe even mundane, some of the challenges that we're facing, and we do the same thing last week as we're going to do this week, and then the same thing next week, and it just becomes routine, and we're not making a difference for Christ, but we stop today and we say, wait a minute. What would it look like if today I made the change and I imagined in my heart what it would look like to not be afraid, but to obey and to let the Holy Spirit do through me something that is so simple as going to someone and praying for them in hospice, or going to a factory that's right next to where we live, or going to the sewers and the gutter somewhere and pulling someone out, or just going and witnessing to a waitress at a restaurant like that story was told. And on and on and on it goes, with opportunities everywhere we turn. Aren't you curious? Aren't you curious this morning? Doesn't that excite you to imagine that God wants to use you to be part of his unfinished task? Because he does. He wants to use you to be part of his unfinished task. Paul's journey, as we said, was a mixture of glorious events and difficult hardships. But through it all, he gave God glory for all that he did through him and the open doors of the gospel that it produced. So what does that look like in your life today? What does it look like in your life this week coming up? What does that look like for the rest of this year and beyond? Aren't you curious? The book of Acts is still being written today because it's being written through you and through me. God is moving. God is still moving. Let him move through you today.